I did want to say that Jamie Rhodes and Allie Toms and Nicholas and Samuel Wingert and Andy Brindle have taken the youth, and they're on a retreat. They're on Winter Slam, and they'll be back a little after 3 o'clock this afternoon, as I understand it. And anyway, pray for them, and pray it was a good experience. The other thing, I'm really privileged to have some old friends here today. They're here for a reason. Barry Arndt and Jen, who come to worship just about every Sunday, Barry turned, well, I won't say how he turned, but his birthday was yesterday. And sitting beside him is his mama Pat, and his dad Mike, and grandma Jean. And Mike and Pat and grandma Jean were in my Gettysburg church. And actually, Pat was my associate for 16 years. We worked together in ministry. And we have a great friendship. And so they're here to celebrate Barry's birthday. So you can ask Barry how old he is. It was yesterday, but you can ask him how old he was. I will always remember when it was Barry's birthday because it's Groundhog's Day. And so I can't forget it. And so that's neat. That's neat. That's, now, you won't forget it either for different reasons. So I want to say that about Barry. Well, for the past two Sundays that we've been together, I've been looking at just one verse of Scripture. Sometimes we plow through the Scriptures and, just to get done. And we don't tarry very long in them. And this one verse of Scripture, to me, when I went through it, it was like, wow, there's a lot of stuff in there. So I tarried with it a bit. And it's Luke 2, 52, 51 talks about, it's the only window we really have of Jesus' childhood. It says 51 says Jesus went back to Nazareth and he was obedient to his parents, Joseph and Mary. But Luke 2, 52 says that he grew or increased, I like that word, in wisdom, in stature, and in the favor of God and with people. Wisdom, stature, and favor. And Dennis Queen, who is my daughter's pastor in Nashville at Cross Point Church, says that wisdom, stature, and favor are areas of holistic development in our lives. So we can increase in wisdom or insight by being in the Word of God, by being in prayer, and keeping the company of wise people. And 3 weeks ago, we talked about that. I talked about that. We can increase in stature. We talked about that last week after our week off because of the weather. We can increase in stature, which means maturity, when we grow our character and hone our humility. As we develop our character and hone humility, we grow in our stature. Now today I want to talk about how do we increase in favor with God and with people. And that word favor comes from the Greek word charitus, or the Hebrew word chen, which doesn't mean anything except to tell you that I know my Greek and my Hebrew. That's all. It's just showing off. That's all it is. But both of those words mean grace, kindness, blessing. Jesus grew in grace, kindness, and the blessing of God. There are all kinds of scriptures that have that word favor in there. But the one you probably know the best is a Christmas scripture. And it happens at Luke 1:28, and it's when the angel Gabriel comes to see Mary to tell Mary what God's plan is. And he says, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. And what that means is that Mary, on her person, in her countenance, has the blessing, has the grace, has the kindness and mercy of God on her. Kevin Queen says that favor is the beauty of God. It's his unfailing goodness, the beauty of God. To help us understand it a little bit more before I go into the actual sermon, which isn't a long sermon, let's look at some scripture that use the word favor. From Leviticus 26, I will look upon you with favor and make you fruitful. And from Psalm 90, it says, the favor of the Lord will rest upon us and establish the work of our hands. What that means is when we are in the favor of God, we will be productive. We will grow and be productive and do good work. And toward the end of the sermon, I'm going to talk about three good works we can do. One of the other familiar scriptures that you might know is Psalm 30, verse 5. God's anger lasts a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. His anger is a moment. His favor lasts a lifetime. In other words, the unfailing goodness of God will not be overshadowed by the unfinished business of sin. I don't know where in the world that sentence came from, but I wrote that down. The unfailing goodness of God will not be overshadowed by the unfinished business of sin. Why? Because Jesus has the last word. And Jesus takes care of our sin. In fact, Ephesians 2, that's the New Testament, says it is by charitus, by favor, we are saved. God saves us because he favors us. It's not that we deserve it and then earn his favor. It's just what God does. Our worth to God isn't based on what we are or what we can do. He doesn't need anything from us. His blessing and kindness and mercy and unfailing goodness are free. And they're immediate. They're unconditional and they're immediate. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, in the time of my favor, I heard you. Now is the time of my favor. Now is the day of my salvation. You know, God's in the salvation business. It's who God is. It's his personality. We don't have to win it. We don't have to earn it. We don't have to achieve it. We don't have to do anything to make us deserve it. God just has it. The only thing God is asking of us, well, I'll tell you what God's asking for us. Proverbs 3:3 says, let your love and faithfulness never leave you, and you'll find favor in the sight of God. Some scriptures say you'll win favor. But I looked that up and in Hebrew, and it is find. Okay? Let your love and faithfulness never leave you, and you'll find favor in the sight of God and men. How do you increase in favor? Love and faithfulness. What are love and faithfulness? Well, they're devotion. What's devotion? It's a relational word. Love and faithfulness are relational. Okay? And they have an awful lot to do with putting us on solid ground. The favor of God is in being right relationship with him. And that's really all it is, being in relationship with God. To that end, I want to introduce you to somebody. I have a friend of mine. I want to make sure you can see him. That's Charlie. Surprisingly, he's healthy. Charlie's a goldfish. I guess that's obvious. But don't worry, Kathy, when I'm done this illustration, I'll say it. Charlie's a goldfish. You wouldn't think he'd be very happy in that bowl. It's not much of an existence. But I just heard last week, did you know that the average lifespan of a goldfish in a bowl is 5 to 10 years? 5 to 10 years. Now, if I were to take this net and dip it in this bowl and pull Charlie out and dump him in my hands, if I were to do that, what would happen? Yeah, thank you. The first thing he would do is he'd flip and flop around. He'd flip, then he'd flop, then he'd flip, then he'd flop. Eventually he'd flip and he'd look up at me with his mouth would be open. Why? And he'd flip again and he'd flop and he'd probably flop out of my hand and he'd hit the floor. And if he lived when he hit the floor, then he'd be on the floor laying flat, sucking his gills, sucking for air. And it's at that point, one of you would come rushing up here, and you'd grab this net out of my hands or off the floor, and you'd rescue Charlie, and you'd put him in the bowl. I know you would. Paisley, you'd do that. Yep, you would do that. No doubt in my mind. Then I'd be standing at the door, shaking hands, and I'd go to shake it, and some of you would go, huh. And I'd get nasty grams in my mailbox, and the Society for the Ethical Treatment of Animals would call, and they'd do a thing. And all because you know and I know that a fish is made for water. When the fish isn't in water, the fish suffers. Fish is made for water. And outside of the water, ultimately, the fish dies. Well, just as a fish is made for water, our soul is made for God. Our soul is made to be in a love and faithfulness, devotional, relational community with God. And when our soul is outside of God and that relationship, we suffer. And ultimately we die, spiritually even physically. But here's the thing. There are some of you here today, I'm sure of it, who are more concerned about Charlie than you're concerned about your own soul being out of relationship with God. Look, God wants to bless you and me. God means to put his unconditional kindness and his unfailing goodness all around us so that we can thrive spiritually. And the only thing God wants most of all is to be in a relationship with his creation, with you. Jesus had an incredible relationship with God. He grew in wisdom, stature, and favor. As he grew in favor, he grew in relationship. He grew relationally. As he grew relationally, that carried him through the whole way through his ministry. In John 10, the Pharisees and the religious leaders just hounded him and hammered him. Who are you? Why do you do the things you do? What gives you the right to do them? And finally, Jesus said, "The Father and I are one." I looked up that word in the Greek. Again, I guess I'm just showing off a little bit, but I looked it up. It means the Father and I are the same. We're like-minded. We are singularly minded. Complete agreement. Look, it would not blaspheme the scripture at all if I were to tell you that Jesus said the Father and I are like two peas in a pod. The Father and I are tight. Means the exact same thing. The Father and I are tight. Their relationship of love and faithfulness carried Christ the whole way to the cross. And because they were singularly minded, Jesus was able to empty himself and give himself in order to save the relationship of God with the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Pastor Queen says, Jesus came to demonstrate what is possible in a life rightly related to God. When our lives are rightly related to God, it just filters out into all aspects of life. Jesus chose a relational path. And because he did, he curried the favor of people. Look, favor is not popularity. Favor isn't how popular you are at school. It's not how popular you are at church. It's not how much you are liked. It's not how much people agree with you. It's not how people say great things about you. If favor of God is a beauty pageant, we're all lost. No offense, but we are. Favor is simply what happens in the context of love and faithfulness to God and to others. It's relationship. Look, when people sense that you and I genuinely care about them and aren't concerned what we can get from them, they relate. I didn't say they necessarily like you, but they relate to you and favor grows. How do you grow in favor with people? One relationship at a time. Jesus grew in favor with people three ways, and here's my three, and they're really, really quick. Number one, Jesus understood people. That's how he grew in their favor. Jesus had a tremendous empathy, an identity with the people around him. I'm thinking in particular of a time in Mark. I think it's chapter 8. It doesn't matter. We're going to talk about it. Where Jesus was on some rest and relaxation, and a mobbing throb of people knew where he was and found him and came. Over 5,000 of them. And he felt it in his gut. That's what the scripture means, what the words mean. He felt for them. He empathized. He understood them because he said it seemed like they were sheep without a shepherd. And so he sat down and he taught them. Till what, 5 o'clock? 6? And just before it got dark, he fed them supper. Jesus had a tremendous empathy for people, 5,000 people, and he understood where they were and what they needed. How did Jesus grow in favor with God? Number two, he loved them. There's all kinds of scriptures that prove that Jesus was a very loving person, far more loving than I am. One of them was old Zacchaeus, the tax collector, shorty Zacchaeus. Nobody liked him. Jesus did. And the other one is the Canaanite or Syrophoenician woman who came to Jesus at supper, interrupted his dinner, and wanted a healing for her daughter. The disciples said, get rid of her. Jesus loved her. And then there's the rich young ruler who came to Jesus asking about how can I have salvation when he already knew the answer and thought that he had the kingdom of heaven in the palm of his hands with a bag of chips. But Jesus discovered he couldn't let go of these things and he went away sad. And Mark says, Jesus loved him. He loved him. His heart went out to him. Jesus loves us, this we know. And a supreme example of that's the cross. He says in John 15, there is no greater love than somebody lose their life for a friend. There is no greater love than that. In many ways, Jesus laid down his life in love. So he grew in favor with people because he understood them. Here's the question on the table. Are you understanding? Of course, to do that, you have to go back to another sermon I preached. You have to be a good listener. Are you really interested in what people are saying? Number two, Jesus loved the people. Do you have love in your heart? I'm not going to tell my love the people story again, but you know it if you're here. And Jesus grew in favor with people because he helped them. There are countless examples of that. Mark 2, and we're going to talk about that next week. They took a paralytic and they lowered him down from the roof. Jesus helped him. Canaanite woman who interrupted his dinner, Jesus helped her. He asked the question, what can I put into people, not what I can get out of them. And I want to tell you, when you ask the question, what can I put into people, not what can I get out of them, people know the difference. They know when you really care and when you just care what you can get. And they see it from a mile away. And that's why the disciple John said, let us love not with words, but in action and in truth. The Amplified Version says, let us love not in theory, not in lip service, but in practicality and in sincerity. People who didn't agree with Jesus. People who didn't like Jesus. And the Pharisees didn't like Jesus. There's one thing they couldn't argue. They couldn't argue that he was absolutely enmeshed, embraced, engaged in a relationship with the Father, and that relationship carried over into everything he did, which helped him to relate to people and be understanding, loving, and helping, and curry their favor. And I just want to say that our church, when it becomes the hallmark of our church, when people can say about us, they live as Jesus lived and minister as unto Jesus, when that becomes our witness, we will grow in favor with the community. Talk about you. You don't have to be liked. A lot of people don't like me, and there's a lot of people don't like you. I hate to break it to you, but it's probably true, okay? Nobody is liked by everybody. It can't be. Nobody is agreed with by everybody. People are going to disagree with what you say. It's not important. When you have your relationship with the Father and you are in God's favor, again, love and faithfulness, devotion, favor, and you take that and move that into a dimension where you can care about people, understand people, empathize with people, love people, and help people, your favor will grow. They may not like you, but they won't question where you're coming from. They may not understand you and vote for you, but they know where you're coming from. Jesus grew in wisdom, in stature, and maturity, and in favor with God and people. And if he did, I can too. And so can you. Jesus, thank you for taking the time with me and with us to take one little verse of scripture and just plow that open, and so that we can look at all three parts and think about that a little bit. We want to be a wise congregation and we want to be wise people. I'm A little bit like the emperor without the clothes. It's like, I want to know that my kingdom is full of wise people. We all want to be wise people. But the price for being wise is to get wisdom by being in your word and being in prayer and allowing the Spirit to speak to us and find out who you are and what you're about. We can't be wise with just our own opinions. We all want to grow in stature, in maturity. Not just to grow up and be tall or to be whatever, but to really have our character in line with who you want our character to be. So important, the choices that we make. And we all want to be favored. But there's a difference between being favored and being the favorite. We can't be your favorite. But we can love you and be in relationship with you and be faithful to you and you faithful with us. And we can receive the favor as then we interpret that in our ministry. Look, everybody here has a ministry, Father. Everybody here has something to do. I don't mean in the church. I mean in life. I mean at the workplace. I mean in retirement. I mean over at Menahaven. I mean where we are in our communities and in our families. Help us to be helpful, help us to be loving, and help us to listen long enough to understand. So we just don't get it unless we understand it. And as you make us more and more like your Son, help us to bring honor to his name, for we pray in his name today. Amen.